You're listening to Trek FM.
This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for iOS, Windows, Android, Kindle, plus Mac or PC. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm.
Hi, this is Garrett Wong. I played Ensign Harry Kim on Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
The journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is another edition of To the Journey.
To the journey!
And this week we've got something a little fun, a little crazy. Oh, wait, that's us every week. But we're still going to do that. We're going to do a commentary of season three's Favorite Son. Now, we didn't pick this because it's a personal favorite. Am I right, Tristan?
That is correct. We picked this one because we thought we could have a lot of fun commentating on it. Because it's not the best episode. And, I mean, there's a lot of poor Star Trek episodes out there. But this one has just the right amount of cheese that it'll be fun to talk about.
I think we're going to enjoy it. And I don't know about you, but I honestly do not remember the last time I watched this episode. It's going to be like watching it for the first time all over again.
It's been a long time since I've seen it too, and I specifically did not watch it in preparation for this podcast because I wanted to start off fresh.
Yes, same here. Okay, so for those of you at home who are going to follow along with the visual commentary, get your Netflix queue ready or your DVD set to zero. And I'll give you a countdown. We'll do 3, 2, 1, play, and then you'll hit play along with us, and then off we will go.
And we recommend maybe putting on the captions so that you can read what's going on and still listen to us, or maybe turn the volume down a little bit, you know, whatever.
Right. Yes, because that's how we do it, is we turn the captions on and the sound off.
For those of you who don't quite remember this episode and are just listening along in your cars, Favorite Son, this is how Netflix describes it. Kim begins experiencing bizarre DNA changes and instinctively leads Voyager to a planet whose inhabitants claim Kim is really a member of their race.
Ooh, buddy. All right, intrigue. That gets me all excited. It doesn't make you excited?
Absolutely. Let's do this.
Okay. I'm going to count us down. 3, 2, 1, play. All right. And there she is, our beautiful ship Voyager.
You say that every time.
Hey, that's how they start the show.
Every single time we do a commentary, you're like, and there she is.
But she's a beautiful ship. I like her.
So we're starting right off the bat where Kim is just like, oh my God, this place feels so familiar.
It's true. They are not gradually getting us into the story here this time, are they?
No, they're not wasting any time. I love when I see Janeway just casually lean on a console like she owns the ship, because she does, you know, like it's just...
right? Yes, because she does. Yes, she's relaxed, even though she's on the bridge. And by this time in Voyager's run, they'd kind of gotten more on the whole family theme. They were more comfortable with one another. And I think just a little thing like that shows it.
Yeah. This alien looks like a Bolian burn victim.
I'm going to have to take a second look here.
People listening at home, just take my word for it.
Yeah. I'm sure you speak the truth, Tristan. Now, that ship looks like a really primitive-looking Ferengi Marauder.
It totally does, yeah.
It's like they stripped it down and went back a couple hundred years, and that's the ship.
Kind of like when the Krynum reverted back to a pre-warp state. You remember that?
Yeah. It's pretty much like that.
Yeah.
Exciting stuff. Yeah, I'm sorry, it's a shabby-looking ship.
Now we see the title, Star Trek Voyager.
Oh, Arnold, come on the screen. Welcome back. Hey, good to hear you, buddy. How have you been?
I've been good doing DVD commentaries around town. Now we see the Voyager go through the nebula or the gas cloud. It starts off blue, turns green.
Now, Arnold, what do you suppose causes that reaction?
Usually when I hit things really hard, it changes mass. It changes form. I hit a solid and it turns into a gas.
I see. Oh, and what's this stuff?
This stuff is ice. It's sometimes Voyager likes to go skating on it. That's why the nacelles go up, because when it goes down...
Oh, so they're like blades?
It's like blades. It goes around and around the rink.
So then you've actually got to turn Voyager upside down to go skating.
It's the only way to do it.
Hey, I mean, you got to get your kicks somehow in the Delta Quadrant, right?
I'm spent.
Or you can just go surfing on the rings. You could do that too.
Or go surfing on the rings, yeah.
Yeah. Or you can just warp off.
Warp warp off. That sounds like the lamest Star Trek insult ever. Warp off!
I'm going to have to start using that in regular conversation instead of profanities.
Yeah.
Instead of F off, it'll be, oh, warp off!
Like, kiss my deflector shield.
That's right. That's so shale. Oh, wait, wrong show.
Wrong show.
Although I will say that from time to time, just because.
Man, Kate Mulgrew is nimble.
Yeah. Oh, and look at Chakotay.
I freaking love that. All throughout Star Trek, whenever a character has to jump over a railing of any kind, like Riker and Picard did it all the time.
Yeah.
And I forgot that Chakotay used to do that.
I totally forgot that he did that in this episode. It's been that long. And yeah, look at him. He's trying to be all heroic and stuff. Although the best one was Picard in yesterday's Enterprise.
That's exactly what I was thinking of. That is exactly the time I was thinking of when Chakotay did that.
You can't top that one. I think, was that the first one? I don't know if it was the first one, but it was definitely the best.
I think it might have been the first one because it was season 3 and the switch is pretty early on in a 7-year run. And I just love it. It's like, he's like, you know, lower your shields and prepare for a surrender. And he's like, that'll be the day.
Yes. Oh, I love that line so much.
Such a good episode.
Yeah. Going down with that ship in style.
Ooh, she's got her pissed off face on.
Janeway is... you better get more coffee, sweetie. It's going to be a long day. Ensign Kim is going to put you through some hell.
Tetrion emissions. I wonder what a Tetrion emission is.
Have they ever actually explained it?
I don't know if they have. There's so many times we take these words for granted. You know, like they're like, Tetrion emissions. Yeah, we've heard that before.
Right. Yeah, it's like how the deflector dish can do whatever the plot calls for at the time.
Yeah.
It's just whatever they need it to be, I guess. Because, I don't know what Tetrion emissions are. The deflector dish does a million things. Warp plasma manifolds. I don't know what those are really either. So I'm very confused now. It makes me feel like I don't know anything about Star Trek.
Garrett Wong always has it. Like whenever he gets into a tussle, he always has just like one strand of hair that goes down in front of his face.
Well, I think that was the precursor to emo hair.
Mm.
And he could definitely pull that off if he'd grow it out just a little bit more and then tossle it all up in his face. And here's Kes with a cat suit. What is this?
I don't mind the cat suit, but I completely forgot that B'Elanna got super hurt in this episode.
Me too. I totally did.
That's a good thing that, you know, they can just wave a magic wand and get rid of burns in the 21st century.
Yeah, that's kind of a nasty looking burn too. Speaking of burn victims.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I forgot that she had Kes rocked the catsuit before Seven was even on board.
It's true, although this is not the most, I don't know, I don't want to say it's not flattering because she certainly got the figure for it, but the weird lines on it, like going down front and back, I'm not entirely sure what's going on there, like why it has to do that.
Mm.
It's future fashion. We've talked about this before. It's just kind of weird.
See, okay, I love how a dermal regenerator, it cleans the, it heals the cut, and it also wipes off the blood that's already on his forehead.
It's ultimate first aid. It's really good like that. It's what medical science is going to come to. I can't wait, personally.
Oh, man, Catherine really doesn't trust him. He gave him an Arn card. She doesn't screw around.
Well, heck no. We know this. You do not mess with the Janeway. Especially if her ship is getting blown up. And then you're almost killing the engineer.
See, this is exactly what I'm talking about, Char. Do you remember that? Okay, when, like, just now, B'Elanna's all sick, and then he's like, no, I didn't mean to. And she looks up, and she's like, am I really supposed to believe that? Or something like that, and she's all burnt and damaged.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Harry has really bad acne at the age of 10, it looks like. Poor thing. I know it was, and I'm making a stupid joke. Mommy issues.
Yeah, mommy issues that he links with Catherine Janeway, which is even creepier.
That's really super creepy. I know he looks up to her and all, but gross.
It's kind of like that. It's that awkward moment when you accidentally call your teacher mom in class.
Ooh. I hate to tell you, but I don't know if I ever did that.
Yeah, no, me neither.
Sorry, dude.
Yeah, I know. That's stupid.
It's awful. It's awful when that happens. I'm really sorry. I mean, I did it all the time. Yeah.
So now he's going all Trill.
I was just about to say that. He's turning into a Trill. There are apparently symbionts in the Delta Quadrant. Okay. I think it kind of looks good on him.
I can't tell if the Doctor's being sarcastic or not.
It's kind of hard to without sound, isn't it?
It's absolutely amazing because he always walks the line of sarcasm and genuine.
It's true, yes. And his inflection kind of solidifies that. So without it, you're just seeing the text.
The disease that he just mentioned was Mindaugin Pox. Okay, so everything has a name before it, like, you know, Aldebaran whiskey or a Centauri Prime snake. You know, like, it's never just a name of something. It's always a name that we know of something on Earth and then prefaced by the place of origin.
Right. Is that just the way things are in the future, I suppose? Like, what is the human flu a thing? Terran whiskey.
I didn't think about that. I didn't think about the reverse. I like that. Thinking about how, Klingons are, you know, on their home world and like, don't you have any blood wine? It's like, no, all we have is human root beer.
Thing is, I really don't think we hear it. Because remember in DS9, Nog orders root beer. It's just root beer.
It's just root beer. Not human root beer. Root beer.
Oh, that's kind of an egocentric fail on our part.
Totally. Very Terran-centric. Not very PC.
Oh, I like it. Terran-centric.
Yeah. I'm going to use that. That's mine.
Okay. Can I borrow it from time to time?
Yes.
Oh, sweet. Thanks.
Only because I like you.
Aw. I like you too, buddy.
See, she right here, she's like, she's kind of throwing the doomy eyes at Harry just now.
Yeah, what? I'm in a nightgown. What is that?
I guess Roxanne Dawson just doesn't know how to play sleepy and only knows how to play
flirty in a nightgown.
Hey, Harry.
Yeah, what's up?
Thanks for burning my face.
Yeah, I'm looking better now, aren't I?
See, like right there.
She's like rolling around. This is like really sensual. What are you doing, B'Elanna? You need to hook up with Tommy ASAP.
Or maybe I just perceive it that way because of my impression.
Oh, no. I'm seeing this too. She's being... Yeah, she's like... She's really horny in sick bay. I don't know, dude. What kind of drugs is the doctor giving her? Kathy still looks up very unhappy.
Yeah, no, she's fine now.
Maybe she's had some coffee.
They confirmed the Tetrion surge, which we all knew everything about.
Yeah, but she's still got a twinge of pissiness in her. Look at it.
Well, she always has a twinge of pissiness.
I mean, aside from the usual twinge of just having to command the ship, the stress that comes with that, there's a little more there. There's various shades of Janeway. And this is like very low medium, but still.
Okay, I can't remember. How is Garrett Wong's hair now? Because he had it long and slick back like this for a little bit. And then once he was done, he had it about like ear length. And then he went to, I think, straight like past his shoulders for a period of time.
Yeah, he grew it out pretty long for a guy.
Yeah. Do you know what he looks like now? I can't remember.
The last time I saw a photo, he'd actually cut it short again, much like his Ensign Kim haircut, because he was shooting a movie and he had to cut it for the role.
Oh, okay, I gotcha.
So I don't know if he's growing it out again now that he's done with that project or what. He prefers the long hair, he said. But I prefer the short hair myself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Garrett Wong, if you're listening, you know.
Harry just touched the screen, and like it was a touch screen, but nothing happened when he double tapped it.
Oops.
Oops.
Some bad timing with the accoutograms. It can't be perfect all the time.
It really bothers me that whenever I see Tuvok as a lieutenant, it really angers me when in the first season he was lieutenant commander.
Yes. When did they officially clear that up? Do you know?
I can't remember when they switched it over. I can't remember if it was the end of season one or if it was a couple of episodes after Caretaker. I can't remember.
Okay. Because, yeah, it was really wishy-washy for a little while and then all of a sudden just gone. Forgot about it. Not a word.
Slow to impulse.
We're making our stand here.
I need to work on my Janeway impression.
Me too. I apologize to our listeners for subjecting them to that. I should know better than to do impressions, shouldn't I? I should leave that in your good hands.
No. It's all fun. Okay, so when are we gonna get to the alien babes?
That's why you wanted to watch this episode, didn't you? Yeah. I don't know. For as like quick of a start as they got off on this episode, now we're kind of dawdling around a little bit.
We are definitely dawdling. I was just thinking that. Okay, she just said like prepare for evasive maneuvers. Mm-hmm. You know, like whenever they say like evasive maneuvers at Delta 5, you know, like something like that. Do you think that the pilots actually memorize all that business, or do they just like type in Delta 5 and the computer does it? Or like, what do you think?
That is a really good question. Here is my answer. Back in the day, I thought that the pilots had it all memorized and then they carry it out. But in this day and age where everything is so programmed and automated for us, they're just calling up the program and the computer's doing it for them. Totally.
All right. I can totally see that.
So is it just me, or does that lady look like she's wearing a sort of TOS-era red uniform?
I will have to take a look again, because, I don't know, there's a lot of things about this episode that make me think of TOS.
Well, we will have to talk about that as soon as we get there. And actually, maybe we are getting there. Now that we are on the planet. Yeah, her, see?
Oh, okay, I see it. Yeah, the neckline and the color. Yeah, I see that. Like, even the trim around her neck, that black trim.
Yeah, that's what I think is really the kicker that's reminding me of it.
They're always... Okay, one thing about... They're always touching each other in this episode. They're always, like, stroking each other's shoulders or hair or hand. Yeah. Like, even right there, like, in the corner of the screen. It's got to pat his belly.
It's a little creepy. I'm a hugger myself, but yeah, weird. Like, don't touch my chest or my belly and stroke my hair. I mean, get me dinner first, please.
Get me dinner first. Yeah. They didn't even feed Harry before they started doing this.
Yeah. I mean, okay. Clear intentions here. Very clear intentions.
He's got like four women all over him.
Yeah. Okay. Now I have to ask you, Tristan, as a guy, and say you're not married.
Oh, jeez.
if you were in Ensign Kim's shoes somehow, would you be buying this at all?
I feel like if I was a young green ensign that I would want to buy it, I would try to convince myself. You know, like... it's like
you want this.
It's like, yeah, I'm like, I haven't built stellar cartography yet, but I'm pretty sure it's raining bitches.
I was not expecting that response out of you. That's awesome.
I may bleep it. I don't know.
Oh, no. we're PG-13. That's one true. One thing gets cracks every now and again.
Okay, so this story totally reminded me of Odo's backstory about how, like, they sent out these little babies, you know, all over the mm-hmm. all over the universe to grow up. Like, this is essentially the story of Odo.
You're right. Yeah.
They just borrowed it and made it weird.
Okay, so they're just totally ripping off of other series with the Trill makeup, Odo's backstory. What's next? The Defiant?
Now, that would be awesome.
Well, it would be awesome, but
the Delta Flyer is like a small Defiant.
It's true, so I guess they do that later on. Okay. And they're using the TOS-ish lady clothing uniform things. Not all of them, but most of them.
I have expect like people to jump out and start saying, Herbert!
No. They're not wearing like go-go boots. And
oh, okay. Sorry.
Stuff like that. And they don't have their little... not that. What is that little guitar that guy plays?
It's almost. It's like a. Not a lyre, but.
It's some sort of string instrument.
A lute, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
Oh, I love this moment coming up.
Tom Paris of season one would just be like, I am staying here.
This is practically what he did. He's just like, yeah, he's 90% female. Really?
Yeah. If I weren't after that Klingon chick, I tell you what, buddy. Yeah, I'm sure the thought occurred to him. In a way, how can it not? But he's exercising better judgment at this point in his life. I wonder, what is that? Those hieroglyphs on the wall?
Chicken
what
scratch.
What those mean? Chicken scratch? That's my handwriting.
Okay, so, you know the movie that's coming out called Lucy with Scarlett Johansson, where she plays somebody who's, like, super evolving or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, I think it takes place in China, and in the opening scene, she's in this dungeon-type area, and there's Chinese characters on the wall, and the filmmakers did not even take the time to write something that makes sense in Chinese. Like some people who actually read Chinese that said that, like, oh yeah, it's just a grocery list. It's literally a grocery list.
Oh my gosh.
On the
wall.
That's
awful. So maybe that's what's on this wall. Bread, eggs, milk. I'm sorry. I never, ever bought this story.
Definitely gonna have to bleep that one.
Sorry. Remember the name of my Twitter handle.
Yeah, I'd like to know. Okay, in Futurama, I know you don't watch a lot of Futurama, but they have an alien language that they use all the time, and that kind of looks similar.
Okay, I'm afraid I don't know anything about it.
Ugh.
I know. I just totally blocked your conversation piece there.
So this, obviously, we all know that this is not real. This can't be real, but it's such a good fake that it confuses the doctor. It actually convinces the doctor.
And if it convinces the doctor, then it's got to be true, right?
Right. I mean, like, as far as the crew's concerned, they're like, oh yeah, no, sure. Okay.
I mean, stranger things have happened in Star Trek, definitely. But really, I don't know. I remember watching this for the first time and just thinking, this is such a hunk of... Because I wasn't buying it for a second.
Bob Picardo's eyes are so black.
Yes, they are very dark. They are that way in person, too.
I just, every time I gaze into his eyes, I can never find any irises. It's always just all pupil. Like he's a beta set or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that is his ultimate secret, is that he's really a betazoid. But Picardo's facial expression there. That was great. Yes, let's find common ground.
It's like, we all have four wives.
Totally predestined to be in space, and that is what this all led to. Yes! Yes, it makes so much sense now.
And here's where Harry says no to the proverbial drugs. This was the 90s, so Just Say No, you know, was running rampant.
There were some after effects. That was really the 80s, but Dare was a big thing. Did you ever do Dare?
Oh, we did Dare, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I had to do Dare, too. I'm really not digging the hairstyles.
It's like they can't decide on... I mean, normally in Star Trek, you know, like, everybody has the same hairstyle or everybody wears the same outfit. Mm-hmm. But in this one, they can't really decide on the type of style that they're going for.
Yeah, they've got a couple different styles of outfits, and then hair is just varied all over the place. There's, like, the sequin headband there, and then the fishnet French twist?
Something
maybe?
Like that.
If that's what it's called, I don't remember.
See, they're always touching.
Mm-hmm. They, yeah. They're not your parents anymore.
Yeah, he's already referring to them as his human parents. Really? Give it a couple of hours, Harry.
Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe you ought to think this over. Maybe just a little.
What sacrifices? You live in the 24th century.
I was just thinking that. There's no quote-unquote money in the 24th century, so what were they sacrificing?
Their time, maybe, because they had to pick them up at soccer practice.
Oh, that's awful. That's a rough life.
Well, you're not just the average kid, Harry. You died, like, 5 times.
It's true, he's got 9 lives. This lady kind of reminds me of Jadzia Dax. It's the spots in the dark hair.
Yeah, does she have blue eyes like Jadzia?
I don't know.
See him.
Yeah, if she would stop looking at Harry, maybe we could tell.
Maybe.
Still hard to tell. Too close to call.
Taman, or I think that's his name, Taman. He has kind of a rapey vibe going on when he's just, like, staring at Harry.
Uh-huh.
He's just like, yeah.
Yeah, that is kind of creeping me out.
Every syllable is like, just enjoy yourself, Harry.
Yeah, I don't think it's just the ladies who want Harry, maybe.
This okay, just imagine getting this script as Garrett Wong, okay? It's like, okay,
yeah.
So you're on an alien planet, and there's always 4 or 5 women at least touching you and giving you back massages. Do you think you can do that for 7 days of shooting? He just goes, yes, I think I can.
Actually, I think he said, I think I'll need 10.
I think I'll need 10.
Now, is this the bully and burn victim?
This is the bully and burn victim, yeah.
Okay, yeah, I kind of see that. He's a little red around the eyes.
Okay, this is interesting. Anybody who's in the room on Netflix captions get all capital letters. And if they're on the view screen, they get normal capitalization.
Yes, you are correct. I've never noticed that before.
This is a little tidbit for those of you at home.
Yeah, random trivia. That's what we're here for. We're here to drop the really hardcore facts.
Ask the hard questions.
That's right.
Ooh, a Polaron grid? Is that different from the tachyon or to whatever field?
The tech? Yes, it must be. There's a little bit of technobabble in this episode, for sure.
Well, I mean, it is Voyager.
Yeah.
And act break. Dun, 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 dun. They are dragging in this episode, my goodness.
They really are. Well, we're doing this really nice close-up of candles right now.
Ooh.
To, I suppose, get us in the mood for what's happening next.
I like the ambiance of the candles and the lighting, but the Marvin Gaye is a bit much. It's
interesting. It was Barry White on mine.
Oh, okay, it must be region different.
Maybe so. I see that Harry has now changed into his male version of the alien culture uniform-ish thing.
Everyone believes in plunging necklines on this planet.
I guess so. They've got to show off their cleavage.
Makes you wonder, like, if human marriages would be different if there wasn't a almost perfect balance of 50-50 gender. You know?
Okay, well, let's envision this. Say there's a shortage of men, and it's the planet of the Amazonian women. What would be different?
I think men would totally be breeding stock. I don't even think they'd put marriage into it.
They'd just be sperm donors to continue the population?
Absolutely. Because but think about how worse the opposite would be.
Women would be property.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once again, or still, depending on your worldview.
Depending on your perspective, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, because then, I mean, suddenly women would be very valuable.
And speaking of, like, this is like...
this is visual
creepy.
Right here. I'm sorry. Just the beating up and down. That was not a good visual.
And then they bind Taman's hands and blindfold him and then take him into a dark room after they just got married. Yeah, this is totally family friendly.
It totally is, right? Yeah, all children should watch this.
And then they ask him what's his safe word and everything, and it's just...
And then these objects, which I don't entirely understand the purpose thereof, except to beat with?
Beat people with? I don't know. Oh, God forbid his safe word is Tetrion. Then you'd never know.
Oh, man. Dude is screwed. So messed up. Their flag is interesting, or whatever that is back there.
I was going to say is that... There, like, Star Trek has two modes. It's either really Spartan with just a few color accents, or it looks like it's, I don't know, like a franchise of Binnegans.
Yeah, you're true. Or you're right. That's...
You're true.
You're true. Truly.
You're true, man. You speak truth. Preach it.
Yeah. I'm going to shut up now and drink some tea. Words are not coming out properly of my mouth.
We've been able to poke some holes, Chakotay just said. Are we still on Teresa?
Poke holes in what? So many lines we're going to pervert now. From here on out.
I always want to know how big these rooms actually are, because they look so big on screen.
Right?
I know that, like, so many actors have said, no, it's nowhere near as big as it looks on TV.
I bet it's way smaller, and the camera gives it that larger-than-life quality, because, I mean, sure, there's got to be space issues with the sets, you know, making room for them all. Because, I mean, there's quite a few for just Voyager. But that would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Oh, that's a dream of mine, is to be on a Star Trek set just once.
You know what I wish they would do someday is actually make the Voyager Museum. And make... Like a real life replica of Voyager, and you tour through it, and you have lunch in the mess hall, and then when you're done with your tour, you transport off, and then you're in Las Vegas or something. It's a part of the convention experience.
Now, would they have a steaming pot of hot coffee in her ready room on her desk?
At all times. Good. Absolutely. Yes.
I believe that was the one request that Janeway had, future Janeway had.
Yes, yes, she did, yeah. So I think to be true to that vision, they would have to.
Like you do.
Yeah, as you do. Yeah, I mean, I could see that as a revamp of Star Trek The Experience, should they ever want to do something like it again.
Oh, I wish.
Me too. Did you ever go?
No, I missed it.
Me too. I never went. I'm very sad about that.
Me too. Hello.
Yeah. So we have to peek through the windows now?
It's voyeuristic.
A little bit.
Is that a lava lamp? Oh, it's on the other side of the column now.
Oh, good night, Harry. That is, if you want to sleep.
Yeah. As I touch your
chest. You can talk me in? Is that a metaphor?
I do kind of like his tunic. I mean, besides the neckline, I do like that it has, like, slits on the side.
It does look good on him. I'll say that much.
It looks better than the Picard tunic that he had in Prime Factors?
Yes.
Hey, I remembered! Yeah.
Hey! Bonus points for Tristan.
Not at all pleasurable, but this episode is.
Not at all pleasurable.
At least for Harry.
Yeah.
He gets all the chicks that he wants. Kind of. Yeah.
See, like, right now, he's just going with it. He's like, yeah, sure, all right.
Yeah. Well, it gets a little lonely on the ship.
Yeah, right? I mean, there's only two Delaney twins to pick from, so...
Well, I think he keeps screwing that up, so he doesn't really have that option anymore. Because, you know, he was holding out for Libby for so long that he kind of kept them at arm's length, and so then they gave up on him and went on to other people.
And then he got space herpes.
Right, and I mean, you don't get with somebody after they get space herpes.
not if I was Libby.
Yeah, right? Well, that's so funny, because in the novels, I mean, they get together practically right away again in Homecoming.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I thought they had an awkwardness. They had an awkwardness stage.
They picked up pretty quickly where they left off. Hmm. I think maybe things got a little awkward as Harry kind of learned about the secret life that she's having. Because, like, Section 31, oh, yeah, and then, oh, Harry, yeah, dream world. This is some weird Freudian thing again.
Yeah.
The mommy issues combined with sex. Please stop that, Star Trek. You do this a lot, and it.
There's half the time I expect when people have these dreams that they're going to gouge their eyes out.
They should just wake up in a rage, their eyes are bleeding.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, seriously.
See, like, what's really funny is that, like, if this was any other show, this would be nothing. But because it's Star Trek, it's all like, oh my god, this is a racy episode.
Right. I mean, this was every day on Baywatch. But for Star Trek, Harry's getting a little something-something.
I cannot believe you just pulled out a Baywatch reference.
Hey, this was filmed in the 90s.
Did you have to dust that off?
I totally did. There's
another one.
Too. Ooh, threesome. Ooh, and there's the blindfold. What's the safe word?
And then the light BDSM.
What is the safe word for Harry? Ooh.
50 Shades of Harry Kim.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah, this is kind of Harry's 50 Shades of Grey, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. I want to know what their direction was. Like, get really close. Don't stop touching him. Don't stop touching him.
Who did direct this episode?
I can't remember.
I'm going to look that up. Directed by Marvin Rush. I believe he is the director of photography more often than not. Interesting.
Oh, I totally remember the scene now. He does a flip over the bed. To
Does
get
he?
Away from them.
Oh,
that's right there. Yeah.
He did a barrel roll.
He does not want to get laid so bad that he does a barrel roll over the bed.
Wow. Okay, that is a new Trek milestone right there. I mean, Harry has previously, you know, blocked people from getting their action. And he does it to himself, too, but for a barrel roll.
Yeah, and like, okay, he says no to these girls. He says no to Seven. What's wrong with this man?
Yeah, it's like he has no libido or something.
Maybe. Well, I guess that would help in the Delta Quadrant.
Well, yeah, if you're 75 years away from home, you might not want to have much of a libido.
The scene is still going on?
I know, right? How long have you been watching this? Come on, Harry, let us touch you. Kiss me some more. No, I don't want to. Oh, maybe I'll give in a little. But wait, no! Yes! No! Maybe this wouldn't be so terrible after all. Okay, I will have the threesome.
this scene was another reason why I wanted to do the commentary, because what's coming up is that he pretends that he wants to play a game where he ties them up and they go for it.
Yeah, this culture is not afraid of S&M, that's for sure.
Nope.
They kind of like it. Yeah, since you got here, that was like, what, 3 hours ago?
I know, it feels... Yeah, I want to know the space of time here. The span of time, because it feels like... The way that they're presenting it, it's like he had a nap, and it's been like 8 hours.
Right. Like, ooh. Yeah, he fell for this way too fast. Well, here we go. Tying him up.
It's like, this is a game that we play on my planet.
Yeah.
It's called Melastation.
Ooh, yeah, bite it. I think she's into it.
Oh. See, this... Okay. This is so hard not to get dirty.
Right? I mean, okay. And if I were her... Yeah, don't be falling for this. Oh, violence now.
You see, they noticed they didn't show it because it's violence towards women.
Yeah, heaven forbid.
Can't do that.
And then, but then we get the very animated
shh.
Yeah. He practically leans into the camera like cartoons do. And shh.
Be very, very quiet.
That's right.
I'm avoiding group sex.
Okay, it's a good thing Harry's not bald. Otherwise, I'd have this little Elmer Fudd visual.
That'll mess you up. Yeah.
Yeah, I am. I will never look at Looney Tunes the same, Tristan. Never. I might also never look at Harry Kim again.
I love how easy it is in every single Star Trek show to pry open doors.
Yeah. They don't have much trouble, do they?
Oh!
Oh!
Talk about space herpes.
Oof, wow, that's worse than herpes, man. That's like ebonic plague.
Did you say... Wait, did you say ebonic?
Sure, I'm making it up.
Ebonic
Shut
plague.
Up. Shut up.
All of a sudden, he's talking like he's from the hood.
Ebonic plague. Shut up.
Oh, look at that. That is totally Doctor Who's sonic screwdriver. Look at that.
Oh, that's not what I was thinking it was.
that is totally Doctor Who's sonic screwdriver right there. We got a blending of the fans. Yeah.
Oh my.
Well, have you seen the Doctor Who?
No. I have not watched Doctor Who yet.
Yeah, that looks exactly like his... it's basically a Doctor Who's tricorder.
Okay. Now that, I believe, is a lava lamp in the background. Or at least darn close.
Something very close. That's what I was talking about before.
Mm-hmm. It's a very pointy lava lamp. Choke you. I'm gonna like it.
Okay, so he was... Okay, those are the other two. I thought I saw another one. I was like, how many wives did he have?
at least, what, three?
Yeah, four? it's three, but I thought I saw a fourth one come in.
Yeah, the guy who is the star of that show, Sister Wives, he would love this episode. He would be all about this planet.
I loved that show.
Really? I never really watched it.
It was really interesting. It was really interesting. Yeah. Like I'm not even being ironic or sarcastic. Like it was legitimately intriguing.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was 1,000 times better than this episode.
Wow. Okay. So what did you find so interesting? I've gotta know now.
Well, just the idea of a polygamous marriage, just why women would voluntarily share a man and how that can be rooted in their religion and just I don't know just mm-hmm. the I don't know, just the family dynamic of it, you know, just the
gotcha.
It's so radically different from what I know. And so it was a glimpse into another world.
Yeah. This is certainly a polyamorous world here. So I kind of wonder, like, they really could have made some sort of commentary on, you know, a non-monogamous relationship if they wanted to.
That's what I really liked about Phlox's story, his culture.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't even just polygamous where it was like, or bigamist where it was one man with several wives that you see all the time in science fiction and also in our own world culture. But it was, you know, like, every husband had three wives and every wife had three husbands, you know? And he was friends with the other husbands. It was just so fascinating to me.
It's this very communal kind of thing. At least that's how I thought it was. Now, we got to carry over our Babylon 5 references from last week because Patricia Tallman, who plays Leda, was just in that scene that we saw.
Oh, that's the redhead?
Yeah.
I forgot that's about her. That. The one who gives him a shiner, hits him in the face.
Little bit, yeah. Which is awesome because aside from acting, she also still works, I believe, as a stunt woman.
Really?
So she knows how to do it. Yeah.
Hey, good for her.
That's what she was doing before Babylon 5, and I think has still done it since.
I did not know that. That's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, she's a tough cookie.
I don't give a crap what people say about there's no sound in space. It is so cool hearing a torpedo launch and hit something else.
It would be really boring if we didn't hear sounds. I mean, come on.
Even in Firefly, they didn't have sounds in space. But even in the movie, they had to cheat and they found a planetoid where they could have a surface. I mean, an atmosphere where they could at least hear some sounds. And like in the last final battle. And it was just, you gotta have it. You gotta have it. It's just...
Yeah, it's kind of a necessary evil. No, it does not logically make sense, but for entertainment value, it's just so much more enriching for all the senses that you've got to do it. You've got to.
Although Gravity was pretty freaking sweet with no sound effects.
I have yet to see that movie, unfortunately.
You should. It's really good. Try to find someone with a 3D television.
Okay. I will try to remember... Or that I did not hear Neil deGrasse Tyson saying that that movie was completely implausible, because that kind of ruined it for me.
No, that's the thing, is that it's not completely implausible. That's not true at all. It's not completely implausible. It's just there's certain things that they take liberty on.
Okay.
But it's really scientifically accurate as far as movies go. But it's still a movie.
Okay. Well, I'll buy that. That works for me.
There are things that are wrong with it. I mean, there are things that are inaccurate. I'm not going to argue about that. But Neil deGrasse Tyson, who I really like, saying that it was implausible. No.
Yeah. And now we go to bromance, where Harry and Tommy are kind of flattering one another. No, I admire you. No, I admire you. Okay. That was a really corny way to end that.
That was really corny. It's totally like this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship moment, like when they're walking off down the road.
Yeah, it reminds me of the end of the Beavis and Butthead movie.
I don't think I saw that one.
Oh, they're calling each other names. They're like walking off into the sunset, and they're like, yeah, butt munch, dill weed, you know, that sort of thing.
That sounds like something you'd watch.
I love Beavis and Butthead. You know I do. Because I'm so intellectual.
Yeah. Well, that was that episode. I would really love for people to write in at check.fm/forums and talk about what they like or dislike about this episode. Because, Char, you and I were kind of all over the map on our commentary, so I'd love to hear what people say.
This was very much a fresh commentary because, as we mentioned at the beginning, hadn't seen this in a while. I'd forgotten a lot of what had happened in this episode, quite frankly, aside from the really big plot synopsis, I suppose. And it's much more corny and... much more sexual than I remember it being for some reason.
Yeah, I don't remember it being that. Like, I remember I joked about double entendres beforehand, but this was just straight up. Like, there was like, no...
yeah, they were not playing around. I mean, we could have done so far worse, but we are trying to keep within our rating limit here. So yes. We toned it down greatly. At least I did on my end. I have a feeling you did, too.
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Now, Char, you have some news for us. Is that right?
Yes, we have some exciting news here at Trek FM, and if you haven't visited us in iTunes lately, you really ought to do that, because we have a brand new home in iTunes. No, the website is not going away. We still have that. But now, on iTunes, we are a featured content provider, and if you go to itunes.com/trekfm, you will see our pretty new portal that is a nice directory of our podcasts. And you get access really quickly for really special content. Say, if you want to look up Larry Nemechek's episodes. They are all in a line now. They are categorized. They are organized. This is something that we did not have before. And so it's very exciting. We are just really, really pleased about this. This is not something that every podcast gets by any means at all. It took a lot of work. So many thanks to Chris for setting it up for us, for one thing. And then thanks to iTunes for... giving us this avenue to display our content, because I feel like it's a very, very it's a much better way to access our podcasts.
Tell your friends.
Tell all your friends. And if you haven't left us a review yet, you know what to do. If you write us a 5-star review, we will give you a shout out on the show and give you our eternal love. And speaking of eternal love, we love doing podcasts. And we could not do that without the help of our sponsor. So let's take a quick moment and talk about that.
Our sponsor for this show is Audible.com. Audible is the premier source for audiobooks, with more than 150,000 titles to choose from, and new titles coming every week. From classics to current bestsellers, Audible has something for everyone. You'll be happy to hear that both Mosaic and Pathways are available from Audible. As a Trek.fm listener, you can get a free audiobook of your choice, along with a 30-day trial to see just how great Audible is. Just go to audibletrial.com/trekfm and sign up today. Again, that's audibletrial.com/trekfm, and we thank you and Audible for supporting To the Journey and Trek.fm.
So many thanks to Audible for being our sponsor. Go get your free audiobook today. They not only support us, they support the whole network. And we've got a whole list of shows these days on the Trek FM network. So here is a little glimpse of what else has been happening.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
Montgomery Scott.
It's really just there to tell a story that they couldn't tell with Kirk or Spock or McCoy.
This is true. An episode where Kirk is framed for the murder of a hooker would be...
Right. Awesome.
Completely different. It would be awesome, but...
Earl Grey.
Ships of TNG Part 2.
Commander Riker, why would you protect the inferior ship? I want its treasure. I want the other ship.
Darren, how long have you been keeping that one in your pocket?
Yeah, tell us. That was good.
Do a Ferengi.
The Ready Room.
Scientific Method.
She tells the woman that comes on the bridge, and she's like, "Well, it doesn't matter to me. I'm gonna drive into these stars. It's gonna be great." Like, it's like, I'm just like,
the orb.
Till death do us part.
His are very quizzical in nature. They're of the scientist. They're of the somebody who is willing to accept. Okay, what is this reality? What's going on? She's just all like, "Tell me what to do right now." You know, like
right.
There's nothing spiritual about her.
To the journey!
One versus doctor's orders.
I was working full-time on top of being a full-time student, and I...
Listen, I don't want to hear your excuses, okay? I don't want to hear them.
Like, life was happening and...
A great man once told me, if something's important to you, you make the time. Warp 5.
Undeveloped Enterprise stories.
But the idea here is that Porthos would become intelligent and would be the only member of the crew capable of communicating with a canine alien. So even Hoshi apparently couldn't figure out this dog language.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
Death Bowl, Chimera.
I'd love to see an X-Files one-shot with Scully and the hookers.
With, you know? Scully and the Hookers?
Yeah.
That's a great name for
That's
a band.
We can call it Scully and the Hookers.
Melodic Treks.
Five musical favorites.
You know, I don't completely hate the opening theme. I just really think that Archer's theme should be the opening credits.
K Continuing mission.
Star Trek Axelar with Alec Peters.
That's what we posit. We say it makes sense that at this point we know it's from TOS. They're not integrated, so our crews are not integrated, and we make a point of that. We don't avoid it. We make a point of it. And in Prelude to Axelar, they talk about that.
Literary Treks.
IDW Alien Spotlight Part 1.
Well, Chris, it's okay because they can see the Romulans from their house.
That's right.
So, from space, you know, you betcha. You know what? That's okay. I can see the Romulans from my starship. It's going to be fine.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of our shows. We are virtually on every single platform, whether it's handheld, on your desktop, or on your gaming console. You can listen to us anywhere. If you just want to go to trek.fm/PD, you can do that too and access everything from there. And as mentioned before, the new iTunes portal. Check that out. Now, next week, we are actually going to be going on a little bit of shore leave.
Just a little bit of shore leave. Char and I are taking the Delta Flyer out on vacation, but we will be back after that.
Yes, we will. So, in 2 weeks, until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!